Let's turn to, let's see. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. It says right over here in chapter 107 in the book of Psalms. I'm going to read a couple verses right there, then I'm going to go in Luke. But y'all just pray for me that I'll be able to bring it out the way that the Lord has spoke to me about it when I was studying it, and that he can receive the honor and the glory from it, because I cannot do anything without him. But it says over here in Psalms chapter 107, it says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." That's verse 1. Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the land from the east and from the west, from the north, from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in." Verse 6, it says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in thy trouble, and he delivered them out of thy distress." But it says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We see right there where the Lord Jesus Christ has come about. Not only that that the people there in that day had been redeemed by the Lord himself. We have been redeemed by the Lord ourselves today. And over here in the book of Luke chapter 16, I want to look at something right there here about the rich man and Lazarus. And it says right down here in chapter 16 and verse 23, it says, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. We see right here where the rich man, he has went and done some things, and he wanted this and he wanted that. He wanted what the world had to offer him and what his plantation had grew to be and everything, and he wanted what his plantation would give him also. He didn't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't want to have anything to do with no one that was walking with the Lord or talking with the Lord or anything. But this rich man, it says, Abraham, it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. This rich man, he was missing some things that the Lord Jesus Christ, he had put forth for him, not only for him, even for us today. The Lord has things in mind for us, but if we don't carry them out the way the Lord wants us to carry them out, He's going to wake us up. And when He wakes us up from that deep sleep that we done got into, because I think the only way that we can forget about the Lord and forget about His work is that we have to, and we will get into a deep sleep. A deep sleep and a satisfaction that we know nothing about. But we don't need to worry about all of that. We need to worry about the lost people. We don't need to worry about what we can do and what I can do. What we need to worry about is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. Now, this rich man right here, evidently, he didn't have nobody that would had any influence on him. You know, and that's what we need. We need to show that people, that we care for them. And if we show that we care for them enough, then they will one day call us the friends. I know of an individual right now. He wasn't in church. He didn't want to hear anything at all about the Lord. But I went to him at one time and I talked to him about church. I talked to him about the Lord and what the Lord had done for me, and he can do the same for him. But after that, when I went to see him, I did not bring up the church. I did not bring up the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't bring up the Lord and what the Lord has done for me. See, I done already done that. And see, the thing about it, we don't have to tell the people what kind of shape that they in. They know what kind of shape they in. They know. And what they're doing is not right. Because you can tell it in their mannerism, in their expression, and what they're doing. But it says right here in 23, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, that right there tells me something. Right there. That the rich man was in hell and he could see. He could see the things that was around him. He could hear the torment, because it says after that, it says, being in torment and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am in torment in this flame. We see right here that this rich man, he had faith in the water. He had the faith that when Lazarus took his finger and dipped it into the water and allowed that one little drop that was on the end of his tip of his finger to touch his tongue. Now, he being in hell, do you think and do you believe that he had any kind of relief from it? I don't think so. I don't think he had no relief from it. But he did have a little faith that he was going to relieve him of some torment. It was going to relieve him of some pain and some agony. But it didn't. People today, they think that they're going to go out here and they're going to be able to sow the wild oats now. And then they can... After they done had their fun and after they done went around and doing all of what they wanted to do, then they think that they can come on back to the house of the Lord. They think that they can come on and they can come down to the altar. And they think that they can come and get saved. No one can get saved without the drawing of the Holy Spirit. They cannot get saved without a preacher. A preacher has to deliver the message where the Holy Spirit will touch their heart. But we've got too many people out here today that are assuming that, I assume this and I assume that. Well, they can assume all they want to, but they're going to die and go to hell. I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. I don't. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he don't want no one to die and go to hell. Even God the Father don't. That's the reason God the Father sent his Son to earth and be born of a virgin, because his Father wanted to see everyone saved. And we know that I would love to see people saved. I would love to be able to take my own self and just go to the hospital and to the nursing homes and just speak and talk to the people and pray for them. And then after I get through praying for them, that they would turn their life over to the Lord. That they'd get saved. You know, I believe too also that when an individual, when they lift up their eyes and open their ears, and they start walking, I believe they know that they don't have much time left. I don't have much time left. You don't have much time left. We don't know how much time we got left. I know one thing. You can go and you can look in the newspaper and you can look there and in the obituary column and you see all ages. All ages. From the youngest to the oldest. All ages. You know, to me, that is sad. Because every time I pick up a paper, which is very seldom, because when I do pick it up, it's always something in a negative or something like that. But I will pick it up sometimes and I'll just look at it. But when I do look at it and I look at the ones that has passed away and that's gone and everything, gone home, I don't know where they gone. But when I see in a paper where an individual has an hour, they of the Baptist faith. They don't belong to no church. The only reason that they put it in there that way is because either their wife goes or their mother goes as a member of a local church. But I think it's being hypocritical in a way by putting something like that in a paper and saying they are of the Baptist faith. They don't even know what the Baptist faith is. A whole lot of people don't realize what the Baptist faith is. But we need to find out. And how do we find out? Through the Word of God. I believe myself that the Baptist is the closest thing to the Word of God than any other denomination or whatever you want to call them. Why? You can take and you can look at the bylaws. You can look at the church covenant. And we go by all of them. That's what we go by. We take it from God's word. They need to know what the Baptist faith is all about. You know the reason I go to a Baptist church? It's not because I got saved in a Baptist church. It's because of me and my preference and what I believe that follows the Lord, follows King James. All the way. It just don't follow him half of the way and then just get stuck on it. And so, well, I can't get past this. You know, to myself, there's some things that's in this book that a whole lot of preachers won't preach on. It's a whole lot in here that I don't want to preach on. But I do. I have to. I have to do it. And I've had people tell me, say, no, you don't have to do it. Oh, yes, I do. If I want to be that close to the Lord, I've got to. Because the Lord's the only one that can take me and mold me and make me to what He wants me to be. Over in the book of Joshua, talking about the potter. I mean, the potter takes that clay. When he goes out here, and he just don't go out here and, well, see some clay over there, and he'll go and maybe pour some water on it, and he'll kind of mix it up and bring it back to the place. No. He has to search it out. He has to search out where the right clay is at. Because you can't take just any clay and make pottery out of it. You've got to have a certain kind of clay. And when you have a certain kind of clay, then you can mold it. And you can make it. And as you molding it, and then you say, oh no, it goes again. I'm going to have to start all over again. That's like the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts all over on us again. Why? Because He's trying to take all the imperfection out of us, to where we can be molded and where we can be used for the Master's service. And yes, and He molds me every day. He has to. Sometimes I said, Lord, I says, you know, I really would just like to be able to say, Lord, you don't have to worry about me today. Somebody else, I want you to worry, and I want you to take care of them today. But He'll come back through the precious power of the Holy Spirit and say, son, but I gotta mold you again. The little pottery that I was going to make, and it was going to be a beautiful piece of pottery. He said, there's some imperfection there. I had a corner of it to break off. And I can't just take and put another piece of clay to it. So He takes it and He gets it all back down, and He rolls it around in His hands, and He puts it on the wheel and rolls it around and everything. And He puts just enough little water on it. And He's got that spinning wheel there. They're just spinning and spinning all the way around. What's that spinning wheel doing? Allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to mold us into what He wants us to be. You know, there are some things out here I would love to be able to do. But I can't do them. Why? Because God's Word says I can't do them. God's Word also tells me too that if I have someone to come to my house and they sit down at the table and they want to eat a bite, and they are of the Jewish faith or whatever faith that they are, but they can't take of that meat. They can't eat that meat. Am I supposed to go on and eat that meat in front of them? Nope. I'm supposed to put it aside
Because I should not eat that meat because it's going to offend them. I should not do anything that offend another child I hear. And I'm speaking of the child. I'm speaking of the child that God has brought forth. See, God, He's brought the children to us. And what does He say over there? I forgot where it's at now. But He's talking about we have to come as little children. We have to come to Him as little children. And that little child is not mature enough. That little child is not mature enough to go and do the things that the Lord wants him to do. So the Lord has to take him and he has to feed him a little milk and a little honey. And then after a little while, then he'll feed him a little meat. And he'll feed him up to where he can get a little stronger. One day I was 33 years old. I was 30 years old when I got saved. But to God, I was a little child. To God, I was a little child. Because it takes a child like faith to believe and trust in Jesus. Because if I just had the mind to, if I just trusted Him because of my maturity and everything, because I was a grown man or something like that, what would have happened? Oh, yeah. I may have got saved, but I may not have turned out the way God wanted me to turn out. And I believe that the reason the Lord says we must come as little children, because that little child that we have running around the house, that little child that is outside playing with other children, that little child, yes, they can get in a little scuffle. They can hit each other. They can come back to mama. And they can be crying and bawling. But within 5 or 10 minutes, they're right back with them, playing with them again. Like nothing has ever happened. Like nothing has ever happened. I believe that's when an individual, when he gets saved and when they come, and they come as a little child, being that little child, they cannot look at other people and where other people will bring them down. That's what's wrong with all the churches today. That's what's wrong with the Christians today. That's what's wrong with us, because we just speak our mind. We shouldn't speak our mind. If we do, we need to speak it in love and humility. And I know sometimes I may say stuff that maybe that you may think that I may be a little harsh,
but I don't mean to be. Because that's the ignorance of me. God says that I'm ignorant when it comes to His Word. I'm ignorant. I thank Him today for so much. If I could not get up and preach, and if I could not follow His leadership, then I need to sit down. I need to just sit down. Because if I don't follow His leadership, I cannot help you. I cannot help myself. I can't help my family. And if some reason that you think that maybe I'm doing something that maybe a little harsh or something like that, or maybe something like that, bring it to my attention. Let me know about it. Because unless I know, I don't know how to correct it. Unless you know, you don't know how to correct it. And we'll blame everyone else but ourselves. And I'll take the blame for mine. Because I know I don't do things right all the time. I try my very best. But I don't all the time. I've had nobody down here at the church, but I've had some people to tell me that's outside of the church. Says, Donnie, says, you know, down to church, understand it's not that many people down there. And here it is, you want to have a jubilee? Again this year, you just had one last year. Where are you going to get the money to give to the preachers? I said, that's already been taken care of. We've got it. I don't have to worry about it. That's what the Lord wanted me to do, and that's what I had to do. And last year, we had one individual to get saved. She is 12 years old at the time. She got saved on a Thursday night. It don't make no difference if I had to go to the bank and if I borrowed $100,000, still would have been worth it. Because the devil don't have her no more. The devil don't have her no more. The devil's got so many people today. And so many people, I hear. They don't understand it, why things goes the way it goes in their life. They just don't understand. But I got a remedy for them. I got a remedy for them to be happy. I got a remedy that they can have all the joy. They can have all the peace. And it's easy. It's easy. Accepting the Lord is easy. But we make it so hard on ourselves. And we make it so hard on them. even after sometimes after they get saved, because we're just, well, now they got saved, now let's let them go and I'll see how far they'll go. I'll see if they'll be faithful to God's house. And I already defeated them. They already know that too, because the devil's already told them. Says, you know, says Johnny, says Billy, you know what the pastor said about you when you got saved? The pastor, he said something about that he's just going to wait and see how long you last. And he's going to wait and see if you just come on back to the church. If I do that, shame on me. Shame on me. And if I do something like that, then y'all should not hesitate at all in wanting to talk to me about it. And says, if you can't get it straight, we don't need you here. I just want people to be happy. I'm just as happy as I can be. I know sometimes I may come in, and I may not look like I'm happy, but I am. Because I know that I got the peace of God right here. And I've prayed for the Lord to just show me some things. If I'm doing something wrong, to show me. And I was talking to the Lord this week. And I was saying, Lord, I don't understand a whole lot of things in life. But I'd have been down to the church a little over 2 years. I ain't seen no growth. Lord, is it me? Is it me, Lord? Is it because of me? The reason some people, the ones that's come, has come in, that they haven't stayed? Is it me, Lord? If it is, Lord, move me out of the way. Whatever it takes, move me out of the way. Because I don't want this church to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I don't want it to suffer. I want to strive. I want to keep on going on. I want these pews filled. Why? Because that was a vision that God gave me when I come here. You say, well, preach it, it won't happen. Don't tell me it won't happen. I serve a God that all things are possible. He can do it. He can turn it around. He can, if it's me, he can turn my heart around. And I'm praying for revival during the Jubilee. I'm praying, Lord, start with me first. Start with me. I need to have revival. And I need some of these messages that they're going to preach. I was telling Brother Bill that Monday night I'm gonna just get up and say a few little words and I'm gonna open it up. But then I'm gonna turn
I'm going to turn the rest of the week over to James Albert. He's going to be the moderator. I'm going to just sit back and I'm going to listen. And I'm going to try to enjoy every bit of it. Because that's the reason we have it. So it'll help us, the individuals that come to church. So it'll help us. And it helps the people that comes that's in church, that they can go back to their church and they can get it, have be excited. Well, their church knows something has changed within them. Everyone stand and eyes closed. I need your prayers. I need your prayers that I will do a better job than what I've been doing. But I know that for a while I couldn't do it because I could not walk and I could not get around all that good. But if you've got anything on your heart, if you've got somebody that you want to pray for, if you want to pray for this church, if you want to lift this church up, come to the altar. Come to the front of the church. When you come to the front, when you leave your pew, what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, I'm meaning business with you. I need for you to do something. Brother Bill.
Page 248. Why not now?